Our message series is based on the book, Joining Jesus on His Mission, How to Be an Everyday Missionary. And the book begins with a prayer by a fire department chaplain who died on 9/11. And I'd like to begin our message with that prayer. It's on the back of the worship folder at the top of the outline. Let's join together in praying this prayer that very well summarizes the message that Greg Finke wanted to convey in his book, and also the message that we want to convey during this next message series. Let's pray together. Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say, and keep me out of your way. Amen. I would invite you then to join with me in looking at Ephesians chapter 2. I'd like you to keep your Bibles open. There are a few passages that I want you to read along with me, and then right at the end of the message, we're going to join together in a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the lost causes to whom he was writing. So Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 2. Paul's writing to the Christians in Ephesus, which is in Western Asia Minor, Western Turkey today. He wrote, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery." Now, this is a key word at the beginning of the message. This whole idea of the mission is a mystery. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. And now verse 6, he explains this mystery. Let's read verse 6 together. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Now we'll read the rest of the message, or the rest of the text later on during the message. But this is the mystery, that the Gentiles are included in Jesus' mission. Now, we live in the year of hindsight, right? Because hindsight is 2020. So this is no mystery to us, because we have 2020 hindsight. Of course the gospel is for Gentiles, because most of us are Gentile, non-Jewish background. But that's not the way it was in the first century. Remember, in the first century, the Jews and Gentiles just had nothing to do with each other. There was this huge cultural divide in Israelite theology, the natural thinking that the Gentiles, they were the lost cause. Now, they should have known better. The fact that the Gentiles were included in Jesus' ministry and mission was already revealed in the Old Testament. When God spoke to Abraham 2,000 years before Jesus was born, he made some marvelous promises, and the last promise in chapter 12 is, all peoples will be blessed through you. We sang it in the psalm. King Solomon speaks of the messianic king who is to come. And the psalm closes with this idea, all nations will be blessed through him. Isaiah is filled with it. We heard it in our Old Testament lesson, but perhaps even more clearly in Isaiah 49, where the Savior, or God, speaks of his Son, that he will be the light to lighten the Gentiles. It should have been no mystery to them. It was already hidden in the Old Testament. It was hidden not because it wasn't written clearly. It was hidden because of their preconceived notions. Because God had erected in the Old Testament these Old Testament laws that did separate Jew from Gentile to preserve the Jewish nation so that the Savior could be born from Abraham's line 2,000 years later. But Jesus' mission always was for all people. So the Apostle Paul says that this has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. He's talking about New Testament apostles and prophets. Matthew reveals it. Isn't it interesting that Matthew is the gospel writer who writes primarily for a Jewish background, and yet the very first people that he records coming to worship the Savior are Gentiles? The holy apostles and prophets are revealing this mystery to this new generation who's living in the first century AD. That mystery is revealed in John's gospel very clearly. When John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God so loved the world." God's making it clear that his goal is not just the Jews, but the lost cause Gentiles. In fact, here's a little bit of homework for you. Look up the word world as it's used in John's gospel. Use an online Bible site like Bible Gateway or a concordance. What's amazing is, yes, John uses world in those passages that remind us that Jesus' mission includes all people, but the primary use of world in John's gospel is negative. The world hated Jesus. The world didn't accept Jesus. John's gospel was proclaiming Jesus' mission includes the lost causes, includes those people who are opposed to me and hate me. I want them to know me too. And of course, we live in 2020, so we have perfect hindsight. Of course, the gospel is for Gentiles. But maybe there's a lesson here for us to learn too. A mission mystery. We don't think of Gentiles as lost causes anymore. But I would guess that in your neighborhood, and Greg Finke in the book Neighborhood talks about the people that you interact with. In fact, in the group work, if you open up the back inside cover, the group work, we included some definitions from Greg Finke's book just to help you start thinking along the lines of this book. And 2C, neighborhood, is any network of people to which we have regular access. Who is regularly within your reach? Who are the people who live near you, work near you, play near you, etc., etc.? So, are there any lost causes in your neighborhood? Let me give you an example from my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law's mission field seems to be pretty narrow. We moved her into an assisted living home a few years ago. And when we go to visit Elaine, she very often laments that the people who work there They're living together outside of marriage. Lots and lots of single moms. In fact, she even bumped into her first LGBTQ person. Lost causes. But Jesus' mission mystery is that he came for the lost causes too. People who live in an obvious sin. People who have made decisions that continue to affect them for years later. Every one of us knows people that in our minds, we kind of think of them as lost causes. For people, my generation, it may be the younger generation, you know, everything you read and see about the Gen Z, which is the generation that's just starting to graduate from high or from college now, boy, they live in a post un-Christian world. They've grown up with a worldview that's so different than what I grew up with. And so that impacts them, and they make lots of decisions that it's easy for me to shake my head at and just go, oh, lost cause. And we can get discouraged because what's the use? But in the Old Testament lesson for today, God was speaking to people who would say, what's the use? It's a lost cause. We're off in exile. And God says to his church, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord will shine through you to the world around you. People will come to you. You see, Jesus' mission is not limited to the people like us, to the people who make all the right decisions. Jesus' mission included the Gentiles, the lost causes of the first century. His mission includes reaching the people that we might easily dismiss as they aren't going to listen. They're antagonistic. They're lost causes. Jesus' mission includes them. In fact, the very fact that you have some connection with a lost cause can be a reminder to you, oh yeah, this person is on our Savior's mission radar because he's given me this connection. That's the mission mystery. The Savior wants to reach the lost causes. So what's the mission miracle that I see in this text? Let's look at the second paragraph, beginning at verse 7. The Apostle Paul wrote, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul says, I'm less than the least. The miracle of mission work is that Jesus invites us to join him on his mission. The gospel isn't ours, the gospel is his that he entrusts to us. And throughout this second paragraph, the message that I get is relax. Take the pressure off as you think about your role as an everyday missionary to the people that are around you in your neighborhood. Relax. Relax, first of all, because the miracle that Jesus has invited you into his mission field is evidence of his power. Did you catch that in verse 7? I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Power is a word that Paul uses a lot. In Ephesians chapter 1, God's power is what raises Jesus from the dead and seats him at the right hand of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, it is that same power that God used to raise you from spiritual death. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. By God's powerful working in you, he brought you to believe and he made you spiritually alive. By grace you are saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's something that God worked in you. It's his power that performed that miracle of faith, and it is his power working in you that enables you to be his missionary. Relax. It doesn't depend on us. You and I don't believe because someone was so incredibly persuasive. You and I believe because the Holy Spirit worked powerfully in us through the word that we heard, through the sacraments, so that we believe the impossible, that God used his power to raise Jesus from the dead, and that we could be forgiven. It doesn't really depend on you. It depends on his power. And you are the very fact of your participation in his mission is evidence of the power of our God working in hearts. Relax, his power can work even through you, a leaster. See, I love this phrase where Paul says in verse 8, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles. So the least is this idea that, okay, Paul says, I'm at the bottom of the barrel. No, I'm not at the bottom of the barrel. I'm not the least. I'm less than the least. I'm below the bottom of the barrel. One of the commentaries said, It's, for those of you who love English, so least is the superlative, and now you add the comparative on top of the superlative. You are a leaster. I love that idea. I'm a leaster. Paul was a leaster because he could never forget his past. You know, I was a persecutor of the church, a violent man. He could never forget the fact that he had this sinful nature where he had to confess in Romans, the good that I would do, I do not, and the evil that I would not do, that I do. I'm less than the least. I'm a leaster. And this is incredible grace that God invited me to join him on his mission to reach the lost causes because he reached this lost cause. You see, every one of us is truly a lost cause. We are leasters. I preached this sermon the first time to the Regency group on Thursday. I love preaching at Regency because I'm a young man at the Regency. I'm the next generation down. And I could look at each one of them and say, you're more sinful than me. Because you've lived longer than me. You've had more years to sin. I say that because very often the people that we look down on are people who are younger than us. But who of us doesn't have to confess with David, forgive the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways? We've lived long enough to know that every minute, every second of our lives is contaminated by this sinful nature. We are less than the least. We are leasters. not somebody who is above the lost causes in our neighborhood, but somebody who's on the equal plane. And God worked this miracle in us. So relax. You don't have to be a super great person. You just have to admit, I'm a leaster, just like everybody else. And God, in his grace, has forgiven me. In fact, this is one of the reasons why I've decided M&Ms especially are my favorite mission candy. Take a look at verse 10. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. So God's angels are watching us and just going, look at this. This is hard to believe that God would use somebody like this to declare God's wisdom. And the reason why I like this is manifold in the Greek is the idea of multicolored. And you know, M&Ms, there's all kinds of colors of M&Ms. So parents, as you go home and you give the bag of candy to the kids, you can use the different colors to talk about the manifold wisdom, the many-colored wisdom of our God. How wonderful it is. You know, and the beautiful thing about M&Ms, they all taste the same, right? They're all chocolate. But they look different. That's true of our sins as well and God's forgiveness. So, you know, as I think about my own sins, you know, the sins of pride, that forgiveness tastes sweet. Or I think of the times that I've used God's name in vain and failed to pray to him in confidence. Sin looks different. The forgiveness of sins is still just as sweet. It tastes the same. Go home and share with your kids and adults, you'll have to go home and buy your own M&Ms. But as you eat your M&Ms, just think about all the different colors and think about how God in his wisdom assures you of forgiveness for so many different sins. And he gives promises for so many different situations. And our privilege is to be joining Jesus in his mission to share this manifold, this multicolored wisdom with the people around us who have some of the same guilt and same problems that we have. So relax if you see you're a leaster. That means you are well prepared to proclaim the many-colored wisdom of God. And then relax because you've got a powerful ally. He says, verse 12, in Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That's what Paul does as he closes this chapter, as he thinks about the lost cause Gentiles in Ephesus. That he has this powerful ally, so let's pray boldly. I'm going to close with the reading of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. This is his prayer for the lost causes in his neighborhood. Let this be our prayer for the people in our neighborhood. And I would encourage you to think right now, who are the people that are in your neighborhood that you could very easily dismiss as lost causes? They are never going to believe. Keep that individual or those people in mind as you pray this prayer, that you're asking this powerful God who promises to hear our prayers to work powerfully in them. One last thought before the prayer. Our text ends with, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. The fascinating thing about joining Jesus on his mission is that when we are at our worst, Jesus can use us best. Paul is imprisoned at this point, and God is using him powerfully in his mission. I mentioned my mother-in-law's in assisted living. I don't think any of us raises our hand and says, I can't wait till the day that I go into assisted living. But you know what? Jesus has brought people into my mother-in-law's mission field that I don't think she would have ever met unless she was at her worst. So if God in his wisdom places some really heavy burdens on you and you see your weakness, that you were imprisoned in some way, just say, Lord, let your name be glorified in the midst of this weakness, in this time when I am at my worst, as you bring people into my life, into my neighborhood, that maybe I wouldn't have otherwise been able to reach. So, mission mystery. Jesus' mission includes the people that we might dismiss as lost causes. Mission miracle, that Jesus invites people like us to join him on his mission. And so let's join him on his mission right now by thinking about the lost causes in our neighborhood. Do you have a name or two in mind? Family member? A neighbor, a co-worker, classmate. Then let's pray together. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21 to close the sermon. Please join with me. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.